This morning for a message, I want to look at a message related to mothers. Today is known as Mother's Day. 112 years ago, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation naming the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. Why is there a day set aside particularly to honor mothers and remember them? Well, mothers have played an important role in all of our lives. We all have a mother that has affected us in one way or another. Some, your mother is still here and you can talk to her and relate to. Others, your mother is gone, has passed away, and you have memories to think back on, remember the influence your mother had on you. Trust today, as we think about that, we will think about the great responsibility that mothers have. And I want to look at that a little bit. Title I've given the message is A Mother's Primary Mission. And you brothers don't think that this message is something you can ignore, because I believe there is principles that you can glean from this. Also, I believe you can glean some things here that you can be an encouragement to your wife, to your mother, to those women in your life that influence you. You want to think about what a mother's primary mission is in life. Think about a mother and a child, a mother's influence in a child's life. A mother's influence is great in those first few years of a child's life. They take care of the physical needs, food, clothing, teaching. And yes, fathers, you play a very important part in a young child, thinking of the first few years of life. You play a very important role as well, and we don't want to minimize that. In fact, today, the world around us, there's a huge lack of fathers being involved in their children's life. And I think that's showing up in society around us. So fathers, don't take this message as you're off the hook. You're there and you have a very important part to play in your child's life as well. But mother's the one who provides emotional care, emotional support, teaching, training. Most times the mother is the one that spends the most time with a child. Us as men are the breadwinners, the ones who are away earning a living throughout the day, and mother is at home. She's there to care, to provide, to give support, to teach and train. This morning, I want to look at a woman in the Old Testament that was a mother. Trust it could be an inspiration. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We want to look at the example of Hannah. And I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter at this time and then look some more at Hannah and how the example she was and the mother she was to her son. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathan Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuha, son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. And then if you glance over in chapter 2 to verse 11, it says, And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. This story is one that we all know from little up. We remember the story of Samuel being taken to the tabernacle to live there. But this is giving the backdrop behind that and why Hannah chose to do that, to give her son to the Lord. First point that I have is Hannah's desire. In the first part of this chapter, we see the deep longing that every woman has to be a mother. And Hannah had that desire. It was real. It was something that was there. I believe it shows a God-given desire of every woman to be a mother. Shows the importance of children in the life of a mother. Their life revolves around children, and that is not wrong for them to think about that a lot. Barrenness was a reproach to a Hebrew woman, something that was huge for Hannah. She knew what it was like to have empty arms, to wonder what she would do with all her extra time. She longed for a child to give her purpose, to keep her occupied, something to do, someone to care for. And I believe it was only compounded by this polygamous marriage that she was a part of, second wife that Elkanah had who had children, and she was an adversary. It says here she was an adversary. She was a constant reminder to Hannah of what she was missing, what she did not have. Maybe you're a childless wife this morning, or desiring, wishing to be able to have more children. Maybe you can identify with Hannah. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord had shut up her womb." Hannah understood that God had not seen fit to allow her to have a child, and she had come here with a desire to seek God, to ask God to fulfill that desire. How do we relate to longings in our life that are not filled? Whether it's longings for a child or other legitimate longings that any of us have, do we allow that to become something so big in our life that we can't move beyond it, or do we take it to God and ask Him to fill that need, to fill that longing? The reality of childlessness is not something easy for a mother, a woman to deal with. There's longings there that are right and good. Us men can go to work and maybe we can kind of push that aside, but let's never forget what our wife is facing if you find yourself in that situation. Hannah was real with her problem. In verse 7, notice in verse 7, it says she wept and did not eat. She was real with the problem. She faced it. She did not try to push it down or hide it. She did not hide her longings. And then in verse 10, we find her, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul. I believe it was something that was very, very evident to her and to those around her. We see that Eli noticed this as well. What about this bitterness of the soul? I believe she responded in a right way. If you find yourself in bitterness of soul, take it to God like Hannah did. She took her longing to God. She brought that longing and gave it to God. If you allow that bitterness to take root and grow in our lives, it will destroy us. And you know the verse in Hebrews that talks about bitterness, a root of bitterness. Do not allow that root of bitterness to take root. Take the example of Hannah. When we face disappointments, when there's things in our lives that longings, legitimate, right longings that we have that are not being fulfilled, do not allow bitterness to set in. You also see Hannah had a husband that tried to comfort her. He attempted to bring comfort. He tried to understand his wife. But even Elkanah was not able to provide for her the longing of her heart. And we all have longings that only God can fill. And that's the point I want to bring out with this. Elkanah wanted to satisfy his wife, but was not able to. Hannah realized that God alone would be able to fill this longing, and we need to as well. God alone will satisfy our deepest longing for acceptance, for purpose in life. We can try to find that in our friends, our things we do, what we do, but without God, life is meaningless. And for a deeper look at that, you could go to the book of Ecclesiastes and read that. It's an example of Solomon, a man that was looking for anything under the sun to provide purpose. But in the end, he said all was vanity. Let's, like Hannah, look to God to fill the deepest longings of her heart. I want to look now at Hannah's prayer. In verse 10, it says, "And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." What do we do when we face a disappointment in life, a dream, a desire, something that is not being filled? What do we do with it? Do we allow bitterness, like I mentioned, or do we take it to God in prayer? Let's turn to God like Hannah did. It says she prayed unto the Lord. God was the one who had shut up her womb, and He was the one who could change that circumstance and give her a child. Do we see God as the answer to our problems, and do we turn to Him, or do we use God as a backup, the second option, after we've exhausted all other options? Let's turn to God. Let's ask Him to fill our longings, to fill the things that we desire. He delights in us coming to Him with our broken dreams and realizing that he alone is the one that can fix and put them back together. And he wants us to be specific about what we ask him for. I believe God wants us to ask him specifically. Verse 11, we see some of what she prayed. It says she vowed a vow. She made a request, but also made a huge commitment to God, if God would answer her prayer. She promised to give her son back to God. Hannah was willing to make a huge commitment to God if God would grant her request. Mothers, are you praying for your children long before they're born? Are you committing your child to God? Are you giving that child back to God even before they're born, even before they're conceived? See, she was praying, a praying mother. Verse 12, it says, and she continued praying before the Lord. And we don't have the words of what this continued prayer was, but we see a little about her prayer life. She was speaking, it says she spake in her heart. And maybe that's just saying that she didn't, you know, it says she did not speak. Her voice was not heard. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. But I think it also talks about a prayer that was coming from her heart. When we pray, do people know it's coming from the heart? When you pray, does God know that it comes from your heart? It's something more than just a ritual you're going through, an obligation you're filling. Let's be praying from the heart like Hannah was. She was sincere in her prayer, so much so that she was mistook for being drunk by Eli. He thought that she was drunken. She was sincere in her prayer before God. Verse 15, Hannah said she was a woman of sorrowful spirit and that she had poured out her heart to the Lord. She told Eli why she was so sorrowful. When we trust God with our problems and trials, let's let them with him. Let's ask God to take care of them. She said here, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. She had given it to God. And I don't take it that she took it up again or that she somehow took that back and continued to hang on to it. Seems like after this discussion with Eli, Hannah found peace. In verse 18, it says, so she went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. After she had prayed, had poured out her soul to the Lord, she found peace and rest. When we face disappointments, things that we feel, desires that we have that are not filled, let's take them to God, but then let them with him. Let's not drag them along with us after we're done praying, but let them there. She found peace. Again, was willing to go and on with her day. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Giving your cares to God and then letting them there is a thought that I want to get from that when we look at Hannah's prayer. Well, now we'll look at God's answer to Hannah's prayer. In verse 19, it says, the Lord remembered her. God heard her earnest cry, and he answered her prayer. He gave Elkanah and Hannah a son. Bless them with a son, Samuel. God delights in answering our prayers, and let's not forget that. He desires a relationship with his children, and he longs to answer our prayers if we come to him in sincerity, asking him. Sometimes he answers our prayers directly, like he did for Hannah. Sometimes he answers it indirectly by giving us something better or giving us something that will make us into a better child of his, somebody who will be able to serve him better. God answered Hannah's prayer. He seen Hannah as a woman that was committed to following him in spite of the low spiritual climate that she was living in. If you look at the chapters surrounding this, this was a low time in Israel's history. Eli's sons were not godly men. They were corrupt, evil men. And he chose to send Samuel into this home, born to Hannah, a woman who was seeking God to bring revival to the children of Israel. So God answered Hannah's prayer. What was Hannah's response to that? Well, we see that Hannah kept her vow. She had made a vow. If you remember that vow she made, Hannah was a woman of her word. And in, maybe you would say, in her desperation to have a son, she called out to God and said that if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she did that. She did that. In verse 22, we see that she did not waver in her commitment. She told her husband that she would keep him at home until he was weaned, and then she would take him to abide with the Lord forever, up to the Lord's house. She did not waver in her commitment. She reaffirmed that she would bring Samuel to the temple to be there with Eli and serve the Lord. Mothers, are you known as women of your word? Will you keep your commitments, even the hard commitments? The hard commitments, the ones that seem almost impossible. Let's be men and women of our word. Our children are watching and learning from our example. Do you think Hannah realized, I doubt she realized how hard this would be to do this when she made that commitment. She didn't have a son yet. She was desperate, would you say, to have a son. And did she realize the commitment she was making and how hard that would be to give up her son? Something to think about. Hannah used her time with Samuel wisely. It says in verse 22 that she took care of him until he was weaned. And that was a very short time. She used that time she had with her son wisely. Mothers, do you see your responsibility of caring for your children as a privilege? Or do you view that daily work of caring for young children as a drudgery? I trust that it's a privilege to you. In the world around us, children are viewed as a bother, as something that is their, maybe could you say, secondary, not the primary mission of a mother. A mother that is a woman that's a career woman, she'll push them to the side. Maybe sometimes we hear the term mothers being in the trenches of motherhood. And maybe I don't understand what that all means, but let's not liken motherhood to slogging in the trenches of warfare or somehow as this drudgery, something that we have to do. It's something we have to get through. Our children should not be a bother. Should not feel like a duty, something that we need to do. Let's rather see it as a high calling, a privilege and honor to be able to raise children. Yes, there's going to be days that are discouraging. There's going to be days when there's a lot to do. But let's see it as our calling, as something that God has called you to. If we raise our children with the mentality or thought that they're a bother or a hardship, they will pick up on that and know that. They will feel that and feel like a victim or as though they are a bother. Instead, my challenge is to view your motherhood as a high calling. Look for the blessings in caring for your young children. Treasure those moments. Find joy in the mundane duties of life. Can it be said to you, of you, that you are a joyful mother of children? Hannah knew that her time with Samuel was short, and I believe she was committed to teaching and training him the best she could in those few short years. And her time with her son was probably shorter than most of you have with your children. One source I looked at said that most likely by the time Samuel was 3 years old, he had moved to the tabernacle with Eli. How in 3 short years could Hannah teach him all that he had to know? It's amazing how children learn a lot of what their character is shaped and formed in those first few years of life. Mothers, don't take that calling lightly. Verse 24 said that the child was young when he made his first trip to the Lord's house, and that's when he stayed there. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. She took him to the house of the Lord, and the thought I have here is bring our children to the house of the Lord, and it's a blessing to have children in God's house. It's a blessing to have children here every Sunday morning, and I think our children should know what that is. They should know what it is to go to God's house, should know what it is to be there regularly, and it's a very unusual thing to not be there. It's a blessing to have children, and sometimes maybe you worry about your child causing a disturbance in church or being too loud. Yes, there's times to take them out, but I'm thankful for when I hear the children in church. It's a blessing to have children here. Thank you for bringing your children to church. Like Hannah, Hannah took Samuel to the house of God. Samuel, like I said, he was likely 3 years old when he was taken to the tabernacle, and Hannah had done a lot of training and shaping in his life by that time. He was not being sent into an ideal situation. He was living there with Eli, an old man who had sons who had not been brought up in a godly way. They were living dishonest, immoral lives. And she brought him to the temple, to the tabernacle, and he was to stay there. Mothers, are you teaching your children? Are they able to go out from your presence and be able to stand the pressures of life around them? Mothers, and I'll say, and fathers, our time with our children is limited. Maybe we have more than 3 years, but in a few short years, they are growing up, maturing, and going out into where they face a lot of other influences in life. Let's be proactive in teaching our little ones while they're young. And mothers, you have an amazing influence over your children through those first formative years of life. Yes, fathers, you need to take the lead. You need to lead out in direction as well. But mothers have that everyday touch on their children's lives, like us as fathers probably don't see. Mothers pick up on the wrong habits that are being formed. They pick up on the little things. You have a responsibility to give direction to your children, along with your husband, but teach and train them. It's a privilege, it's a God-given privilege that we have. Remember to teach them the skills of life as well. How to cook and clean. It's important to teach them these principles that they can take them with them throughout life. Principles, maybe you could say the more important principles, like honesty, kindness, patience, obedience, respect for authority. Let's do it while they're young, because our time is limited. Hannah only had a few short years to influence Samuel, and she did influence him, and we see him as being a man of God, someone who was able to lead the children of Israel, bring them back to God, give direction, was a great prophet, priest, judge of Israel. And I believe a lot of that he could probably trace back to his mother and what the influence she was on his life. I believe Samuel knew he was a prayed for boy. In verse 27, it says, "For this child I prayed." Do your children know that they were prayed for? Do they hear you as mother and father praying for them? Mothers, do your sons and daughters hear their names mentioned as you kneel with them and pray? Do your children know that they were that you prayed for them before they were born? Do they hear us praying for them in family worship at the supper table? Do they know that we care about their physical well-being, but also their spiritual well-being? Pray for them while you can. Pray for them when you have them with you. My wife likes to have a short prayer with the children on the way to school. I think that's a blessed habit that she has developed that our children will not forget. And let's find ways like that that your children know that they've been prayed for. The other thing I want to note is Hannah did not forget her son when he was serving God in Shiloh. In chapter 2, verse 19, "Moreover," I'll read verse 18, "but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Hannah did not forget her son after he was serving God at Shiloh. She still showed her love to her son each year. She brought a coat. Let's not forget our children when they do move away, when they do serve God, are called to serve God elsewhere, form their own homes. Do not forget your children. Mothers, you can be a real encouragement to your sons and daughters as they teach school, serve in other callings, or raise a family of their own. A mother's work is not over when your children step out and form homes of their own. Remember to pray for them, encourage them in small ways, make them a coat, give them something to remember you by. I believe those coats were something that Samuel clung to when he was lonely. He knew he had a mother that cared for him and loved him, and she had shown that to him. I don't think we'll take the time to read it, but in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we see the prayer of Hannah. She prayed this prayer of praise and exaltation to God after she had brought her son to Shiloh and left him there was leaving him there with Eli. She had just given her only son to serve the Lord, ready to go back home to a quiet house, back to the way it was before Samuel was born in some ways. But her heart was full of thanksgiving and praise for God, the one who had given her this son. Are we living a life of thankfulness and praise to God for what he has given to us? We are a blessed people. Even if we have some of these longings and desires that at times seem like they're not filled, we have a lot of blessings. Let's be a thankful people, thanking God like Hannah did in these verses. She was praising God for giving her a son, even though she had just given him back to the Lord. In conclusion, I want to turn over to Titus chapter 2. Turn with me there if you care to. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Encouragement to you as mothers, as women, to serve God where you're called. It says, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Mothers, you are called to serve the Lord, and this is some of the teaching that Paul gave to Titus to encourage the young women, the older women, to serve the Lord faithfully where he has called you. Maybe you can sometimes feel like being a mother is not an out front job. It's not something that you're out on the in the forefront, but remember that your primary mission, your primary calling, yes, it's to serve God, it's to follow him, but it's to care for our children. Do our children know that they are our primary mission, or do they feel like they rank second or third after our digital media, our books, our friends, or whatever other interest and things you find yourself in? Do our children know that they're first? I trust they do. I believe we can see that they are our primary responsibility, and not that God is some distant concept, but God is there too as our Savior, someone we know. They'll see us praying, following him. Trust you mothers can be encouraged as you continue on serving him, as you teach, train your children, care for them, continue to pray for them. In conclusion, I'm going to read a poem. A virtuous woman who can find her worth is priceless, her virtues divine. Looking well to her household, taking care of the poor, to her husband brings honor, her children adore. A virtuous woman is one who controls her tongue from unkindness, no grudges she holds. In humble submission she walks with the Lord, prays without ceasing, meditates on his word. A virtuous woman who worships the Lord and sits at his feet like Mary of old, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, pride will deceive us again and again. A virtuous woman, yet all is in vain if the things that we do are not done in his name. To put off the old man and put on the new, the mind of Christ in us, our motives be true. Let's kneel together for prayer.